You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We're doing Sabado Gigante. This is hour one.
No, you said it wrong.
What? I didn't say where we're at.
Sabado Gigante!
We're doing Sabado Gigante! And Merle's the co-host, and that's why she
Don't oversell it.
Don't oversell it. Who are we? Well, people could see you if they're watching now, but let's assume.
Where's the camera? The
camera's right here. You want to see yourself?
Hi. I would have combed my hair.
We didn't tell anyone that they'd be on camera.
Well, my shirt's all dirty, too.
I can't figure out where the mouse is because the people can't see me. Just assume you're on, okay?
Okay,
hi,
fair enough.
Hi.
We should have made everyone get naked.
Oh, that I would have.
And then not
that.
Given, not shown them the camera, and we would make some good money.
Pool party. She had a pool party. Where ooh. We
there you go.
No
do you
pool.
Want to see? Yeah.
Oh, there we
we'll
are.
Draw,
look at there
we'll
we
draw
are.
One
there
outside.
You are. People could see.
I am wearing a bikini under this.
All right.
The top is Puerto Rican flags.
Oh.
Speaking of Puerto Rican flags, this week is Pride Week.
Woo.
And there's a reason why I mentioned that. That's because Bill Cruz is here, everybody.
Hey,
yay.
Really? That's how you're going to intro me?
Bill loves rainbows.
I do
rainbows.
Love
Bill
rainbows.
Is a rainbow.
I loved rainbows
Cruz.
Before I knew they were gay.
This is hour one of 12, and this... what?
This
nothing. No,
long.
No, it's great.
Like
this is hour one of 12, and each hour has a theme, and this theme is Merle's favorite guests.
Merle's, thanks.
Isn't that fun?
Wow.
Yay. Surprise!
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
These are Merle's two favorite guests that we've had on the show, and that's why they're both here.
In your face, other comedians.
That is true. Why do you like these two so much, Esmeralda?
Because they make me laugh.
Why do they make you laugh? How
like,
do they make
insanely.
You laugh?
Like, insanely. One, when we interviewed Bill,
yes.
I was like, I loved it. And every time I see him, he gives me a hug, and he tells me I look cute.
You do. Look at this gorgeous little dress.
So the point is to compliment.
And Renee, my favorite is because she's a favorite because she has that joke about shit mittens.
What is it?
I crack up every time.
That is a
I've heard
joke.
That joke so much. I still laugh so fucking hard over shit mittens. And then how you say it, you go mittens.
Oh, shit mittens. Yeah. Shit mittens is when a lady or gentleman, but usually a lady, covers her hands in toilet paper. And then uses those hands to levitate on the toilet seat.
You hold
seat.
Yourself up. Yeah, you put your hands on the toilet and you hold yourself up, but you take a dump so your butt doesn't touch the seat.
So
apparently to be more cleanly, but I think it's 1,000.
It's paranoia.
And it just feels, yeah. I've never gotten anything from a toilet seat.
No, you? Neither have
no?
I.
Yeah.
No, they say the most dangerous thing in the bathroom is the door handle.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
That is true.
Yeah.
Are you afraid to go to the restroom?
Me? No, I love going to the restroom.
You like going to the restroom. Mm-hmm. Where's your favorite restroom in town?
Ooh. My house.
Your house. Bill.
Renee's house.
Renee's house. That's very good. That's very
you know
good.
It's really
we're
good
engaged.
One?
Millennium
Park.
I don't know if you knew that.
Millennium Park is
Millennium Park.
Seriously, you'd really? Think they'd be just covered in shit. No, they're really nice.
Really?
You know what bathrooms are the most disgusting is in movie theaters. I think they're the
yes.
filthiest
bathrooms.
Bathrooms I've ever seen in my life. Always broken, always doors missing. Real gross.
Is
my
popcorn
favorite.
A big shitting?
Yes.
My favorite is Vegas casinos. They have the best bathrooms. I don't know what it is
they
about
have to
Vegas
keep people
casinos.
In there, and if they have dirty bathrooms.
I know. And there's somebody always in there cleaning, and it's great. They're big. They're wide open. Very good echoes.
You like the echo?
Why do you like the echo in a bathroom?
The sound of the
it feels Roman almost. Like you're
a Roman.
Oh, I was thinking more.
Wait,
you know.
A great hall or a great hall?
A great
hall. Well, it's a Roman hall. I'm assuming it's a lot of... Jesus
what's a rape hall?
A rape hall is any Roman hall.
Have you been to Bill's house?
Have you been to a state?
Elliot Ray Hall.
Wow, we're going way inside really quick.
Hour one, rape talk.
Welcome to rape talk.
That's all you didn't know. Merle's favorites and the rapiest.
Yeah.
Later in the hour, we have Mark Janka from Lesser Birds of Paradise. He plays quiet music.
Yay.
He does. Right. He plays very beautiful quiet music.
Speaking
the sounds
of quiet
are,
music.
Of the outside are already entering the sounds of the inside.
Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah. We can
is it recording?
Yeah, it's
it make you know what? It gives it more character.
Yeah,
we have
real.
A lot of character.
People know it's a party.
This is a city. This
exactly.
is the city of Chicago.
I like the noises.
Cheers.
That's the first cheers I've ever seen from someone holding a microphone to someone else's glass.
Yeah, well.
I.e. plastic cup.
Blue cup of rum.
We're starting things.
Really?
The word escapes.
That's how you chime in. We're starting things.
What's it?
We're starting things.
We're being revolutionary.
That's it.
How? What?
With the cup and the mic.
As you can now tell, I've spent a lot of time today preparing for the food and the drink, but not so much of the content.
I have a few things.
Let's start.
Well, I guess in honor of Bill Cruz, I don't know if you're the whole thing in New York.
Really? Oh, yes. Gay marriage has now been passed by the Senate by, I think, 2 votes.
Yes.
In the Senate for the state of New York now recognizes gay marriage. The rest of New York said, eh, forget about it.
Oh, really? That's your joke?
That is, hey, I've had very few hours to work on my New York joke so far.
Well, I feel bad.
Why?
For the gays. Because really, why do you want to get married?
I agree. I'm old school. I'm of the guy who's like, if you're gay, you want nothing to do with the straight world.
Oh, no, I just hate marriage.
Doesn't that just mean you're single?
Yeah, but that's the point. I mean, marriage is so antiquated. How are you supposed to spend 50 years with somebody? Like, you know, average 10 years. Getting married.
You know, I
that's
just
a bit
got
much.
Engaged, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
thanks,
Bill,
buddy.
I think technically we're.
We are engaged.
Bill and
you're
I are engaged.
We are engaged.
We've been engaged for a couple years now.
Engagement is fine. Yeah, I have no problem with engagement.
Very long courtship. Have you held hands at least?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Underwater.
Yeah.
Have you really? Do you like to go swimming?
Or
was it a tub?
I'm a floater. I don't know.
Are you doing more shit material?
Yeah.
I think that's what I like the most about him.
Really the best way to go.
Floating.
Very buoyant.
My favorite shit material.
It's my best quality, really. Buoyancy.
We really started a 12-hour show with shit and rape jokes, like, instantly.
You no, gotta, you did.
You know, just right out from the bat. Just start out.
Merle's favorites.
Yeah, they are.
Merle's favorites.
It is my favorite.
I'd like to point out for the people not in the room that Michael Sanchez just moved a microphone from a table in order to sit on the table, though he put the microphone on a stool, which is a sitting device. So, yeah, because most people like to sit on IKEA tables because of their sturdiness.
Yeah, this thing's going to... Well,
now
he has.
Yeah.
And he's shocked.
Wherever he's more spread-legged is fine. Wherever you're more spread-legged is fine.
It might actually be funny if you do break it and fall.
Yeah, you're all of 12 pounds, number one.
Michael's thin. Moving on. Renee, you used to host my favorite Thursday night room, and that room no longer exists.
Oh, that's right.
That was
right.
Riot. Mm-hmm. You're literally tight-lipped right now.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I missed it. It was a
you
fun
miss
show.
It.
Yeah.
Well, then why'd you stop?
Why did I, location, timing. We did it. You know, I mean, running a weekly show is a lot of work.
Yeah, but I also said, why don't you do it at the Hungry Brain? And you said three other people asked you, like, the same week to take over another show.
Well, I mean, I've got shows in the works.
You really?
I've got options, yeah.
What are your options? What are your shows in the works?
I mean, I can't really. I don't want to. I mean, there's a lot of great locations in Chicago.
You
there's
could
a lot
break
of
it right here.
You don't
want
to break? Have break?
I mean, I've got nothing to... There's no great
so
news
you're
yet.
Just lying. You
I'm
have
not,
nothing
no.
going on. You no?
That,
you do,
not lying. Oh, I'm confused.
We are both confused. No, what's the plan? What do you
I'd
want
like
to be
I'd like to start
doing?
Another room, possibly Thursday night, maybe maybe on the weekend.
Okay, so those
weekly
are three
show.
Of 7 nights. You
yep,
could do a show.
Do you think Riot will ever come back?
What's that?
Do you think Riot will ever come back?
I don't know. I mean, I loved Riot. It was such a fun show. I loved everything. I mean, we just got drunk and wore dresses and threw a party every week. It was really fun.
Yeah.
What's not to like?
Then why did you stop doing that?
Because there was a lot of drinking. It's hard. I mean, when you have a full-time job and you're trying to produce a show, book a show, set it up, it's a lot of work. The venue was not very helpful.
No, it's not.
And promoting a show every week, it's like, this is how it goes. Hey, come to our show this week. It's going to be awesome. It's so great. Then the show happens, and then immediately you're like, hey, come to our show next week. It's going to be awesome. And yeah. I mean, even if every show is awesome, it sounds like shit every time you tell somebody over and over and over again, come again.
I know.
It's awesome. It's
very,
great.
Very difficult. Is there anything you think you could do to make that easier? Is there any way to promote where it's not annoying to people?
Interns. Just get interns to do it.
But does that actually help with anything?
I mean, it depends on the intern. It depends on who
you're
Did you
have any good interns?
We did at the end. We had some very great interns.
What were their names?
Brian and Sam were awesome. We also had Jessica
was
Thompson.
Cute
was
one?
Brian was the boy.
Brian, okay.
Brian was a cute boy.
Yeah.
According to Bill Cruz, yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Where is he now?
I'm going
at
to Columbia. He's going to college.
Do you have his number?
Being 20 years old, living life. I do have his number.
Bingo.
What's his number and name and Facebook?
You want to invite him to our engagement party?
Yeah,
that'd be perfect. Bill, happy anniversary.
Are you still hosting the open mic?
I am. In fact, next week is our 2-year anniversary.
It's 710?
710 Lounge, 2747 North Lincoln.
Yeah.
I know the address.
It's down the street from Delilah's.
I used to live literally directly next door, and I've been going to that bar since probably 2 years after I moved here.
Okay.
And back in 99. Yeesh.
Did they have comedy before you?
No. In fact, but they had a huge comedy presence. C.J. Sullivan used to live directly next door. I took over the apartment from him. C.J. Sullivan would go there.
For those of you
that
don't know, C.J. Sullivan is one of like the two funniest comedians in Chicago. He's been doing it probably longer than any of us
have
known about comedy in Chicago. He does Visitor's Locker Room, which is my favorite show, but one of the hardest to listen to because they don't know how to mix their microphones.
Yeah, it sounds like they're literally recording in a bathroom.
It's him and
Sean Flannery.
So two of the loudest men ever with no one mixing it. It's just for like in 2 hours, and it's brilliant.
And the two of the most distinguishable voices, yeah. Both of them. But no, a comedian started going there that did not live in Chicago originally to watch football on Sundays because no one would go there to watch the Bears game. And they had like 8 televisions so we could have any game on. So comedians have been going there for years, even before I was
there. You're not from here, so that was very important to
Correct.
You. You are a big Broncos fan.
Huge Bronco fan.
How are you anticipating this fall season? Do you think there's going to be a lockout?
At this point in time, since there has not been much movement, before I was a little bit more optimistic that we would actually have a season now.
Did you see the draft this year?
I did.
Wasn't it weird?
It's been weird for the past 3 years.
No, but because no one knew if these guys were actually going to get paid made
exactly.
it so much weirder.
Well, these kids were like, hey, I skipped my senior year for this.
Yeah.
And other kids were like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to go into the draft this year. Not to mention the fact that, a lot of these kids, even though they signed contracts, they will get paid.
Yeah.
But nowhere near the amount if they actually played football. So at this point in time, because of late in the season and the way I've been following the talks, I really do think if there is a season, it'll be 8 games or less.
Really?
If there is a season at all.
I think they might just lock it out like they did for the NHL season.
I think so, too. I think, though, what will happen is if there's an initial lockout for the beginning of the season, there'll be enough public pressure to force them to do at least 8 games.
Why would they lock out? What does that mean?
Lockout is...
Merle's like shuffling papers, by the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
I didn't notice
I'm
this.
Writing a paper.
Look at the lighting.
So, I gave it to you. Well, that's for you right there.
The only section she left me was sports. That's nice. What we open with. So,
the reason there's a lockout is because the players and the owners cannot agree on a new contract as far as profit sharing. So the owners have technically locked out the players from actually working. So the players can actually enter football stadiums and practice and play football.
Now,
why don't they play in high school fields?
Yeah, this seems like they're making for a Disney
some
movie.
Teams are doing
some teams
it does,
are doing
doesn't
that.
It? Yeah. And the little guy is going to make it all happen.
But I think the amount of people that are involved in NFL, which is your average Joe who works the concessions, the people who clean the stadiums, parking attendants, all those people are going to be without jobs and money.
Can't
and I think with today's economy,
no.
The pressure is going to be so high for
them
to start football.
Stadium.
No, nothing draws as well as football. Every game is a guaranteed sellout. And I think it's about, 2 years ago they said if the game doesn't sell out, we won't broadcast it.
And there are some cities that are suffering. There's some cities that continually have blackouts, and teams are considering moving to other cities.
Yeah.
But the majority of the NFL makes money.
And the NFL's made more money than any other sports league in the last 10 years. So
is that true even with FIFA?
Oh, yeah. In terms of the U.S. market.
Oh, okay. Yes. U.S.-wise?
There's a really, really great Freakonomics episode if you're not interested in sports like you, Merle. But the amount of people this impacts
Thanks
is more
for not
than
pointing
any other
me
sport.
Out.
You would think it'd be something like baseball because it's 162 games. It's 81 in each city. No. It's not nearly as much as football. Just the TV packages alone will kill networks. NBC, ABC, they're all going to eat shit because of this.
And especially... like your NFL network and your sports centers and all that. But I do think that if there is going to be a season, it's going to be 8 games, which means Super Bowl probably won't count as much this year.
No.
But it's a huge disaster. It's a huge snafu for both the NFL and the players.
I think that the WWE is going to benefit from this more than any other sports entertainment organization. Think about it. Maybe UFC, but it's a little bit too violent. I think the WWE is poised to like take over again like it did in 99.
Do you think soccer will ever... I mean, they can
no.
use the
no.
field.
Never.
No.
No. No. The soccer is the metric system of sports. America will never accept
it. I like their shirts.
If my dad won't watch it, it's probably not going to be
very
well. Soccer
has
They
best,
got better shirts.
They do have the best uniforms in terms of comfort.
The short shorts.
Comfort. I watch sports for shirts.
Yeah. Did you ever try on the World Cup jerseys? They have like this new material, so if it's like it doesn't hold sweat, it's brilliant. I'm not joking.
You tried it on? You like? You
I
sweated
loved
in it.
I have a jersey. I have a German jersey.
I've been in a lot of soccer locker rooms, but I haven't been there to try on
because
clothes.
You're gay.
Hiding in the lockers, waiting to pop out.
Yeah, well,
that's how
I was popping out.
Yeah. I imagine, Bill, you just hide in places and then pop out and
Speaking of which, you're going on a camping trip this evening.
Yes, I can't wait.
It's a bachelor party.
It is a bachelor party.
And I think you are the only gentleman with a different lifestyle, some might say.
That I have a regular job?
Yep.
Yes.
You're going with a bunch of comics.
Yes, it's young Joe McAdams, comedian. Yep. Very, very good comedian. He's having his bachelor party in the woods. I felt obligated
like
to go.
Bring Bill Cruz.
Yeah, why not?
Well, drunk, if I had a bachelor men. Party in the woods, you're definitely on the short list.
Oh, bingo.
But why the fuck would you want to have a bachelor party in the woods?
Well, I think knowing Joe McAdams, he has had numerous parties in the woods. So I think it's one of those things where let's just go
mean?
Somewhere and drink.
You can get like, as loud as you want. You can do all
no,
kinds
you
of
can't.
Crazy stuff. In the No?
What?
No. Well, where are you? Is it a campsite?
I assume so. I was told Zion, Illinois.
Because
which,
I went last weekend, and we had families just all around us. It was maybe just a row of bushes stopping us from the other campsite.
Wow.
And we were being loud as shit, and the rangers came and
really?
Scolded us.
Knocked on your tent door?
For swearing. They came
for
around.
Swearing?
We're like, we were swearing and being too loud.
Excuse me, sir. This is a national park.
What,
you cannot use that language here.
What time did you go over there?
What do you mean?
What time did they like tell you, like, hey, stop swearing?
Like, one?
No swearing after midnight
It was
something?
One, but then we got in trouble again. The next night, and that was about 11 something.
For swearing again?
No, we're just being loud.
Well, we're
Which, I mean,
I plan
really
on being loud. I think
woods.
I'm sure we're going to be loud and up all night drinking.
Yeah, that's what we
But
try.
Again, it's Zion, Illinois. If any families are up there bitching that we're making too much noise, you're in
you're
Zion,
half the economy
Illinois.
The
yeah. But I am missing the Pride Parade for this bachelor party.
Wow, Bill.
Why is the Pride Parade fun?
Number one, it's a giant party. You get to drink in the middle of the
but
street.
Isn't that,
outfits,
like,
nudity, glitter, like
party music,
giveaway stuff.
Yeah, but like that's pretty much 90% of your nights as a comic.
I mean, not, it's not. I mean, boy, the outfits are way better.
The outfits, that's
the
true.
Wigs,
the outfits are much
boots,
better.
There's just hot pants everywhere. What's
I feel like there's fit. More beards.
People's bodies
comic.
Are much more fit too. No comedians' bodies that fit. Come
that's
on.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. You see a lot of abs.
Fit bodies.
Bill Cruz is one of the most fit comics in the city. But I don't know. I like Pride and all, but I don't get it.
Well, it's just a celebration. It's just a huge
I get that part.
50 block party.
There's just a
How
mood,
do you not go and
mood.
Just celebrate being alive?
Have you been and you didn't like
it? No, I've been and I really, really enjoy it, but I don't understand why I'm there.
Do you mean the history of Pride?
Not the history of Pride. I get it. But, like, just waking up early to drink all day. Like, I don't get that.
You really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you human? How old are you now?
28.
Really? This
yeah.
should not be evolving in
yeah.
you until at
it's
least 38.
Because you got engaged. Maybe that's why.
I understand. Because I like to start drinking at, like, 10 p.m. That's maybe the problem.
Have you
why
been
doesn't
camping?
Pride start at 10 p.m. and go till 6 a.m.? That could be more.
Oh, it
like
does.
Would,
it starts
like
Saturday
no,
the
it
day
starts
before.
At, no, but it starts, like, the parade and the pregame starts at, like, 9 a.m. at brunches and then goes till like 9 a.m. No, no,
I
no,
feel
no.
I know
no.
lesbians like to get up
early,
too.
Yeah,
you know a
really
party
riser.
At 7 a.m.
Yep.
Where is it at?
It's my friend Meredith's house.
Just at her house?
Yes.
Does she live on Halsted?
No, she lives where she lives. She lives
Does she live anywhere near the parade?
No.
Then why? What?
It's Party Central. That's where it starts, and then they make their way to the parade.
So they, like, start a bar crawl, essentially, at 7 a.m. to get to Pride?
No, they get loaded at her house, and then they go to Pride. They don't stop anywhere.
So it's not really a Party Central. It's just a sadness station.
Oh, no, well, no, but it's for Pride.
Sadness station.
So you're just
it's
mad at the timing.
Fun.
Yeah, I don't like early drinking. That's my
well,
problem.
Well, you
don't
have to drink,
drink.
Early.
Yeah,
you can
up.
Drink later.
Do you have any idea how awful it is to be somewhere where everyone's drunk but you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then why? They just the elation in your voice.
But
that's what I don't get.
No, I'm not. No, but not everyone. There's families there. There's people with children.
I do like the family.
There's
you
guys.
Haven't you
in fact
local
if you go toward the end of the parade like toward Belmont and Broadway going south
mm-hmm.
that's all families it's all families go hang out there
yeah, the kids are
don't
having
go
so
hang
much
out
fun.
In front of Spin or Steamworks like you usually do
mm-hmm.
where everybody's drunk and naked
that's usually where I'm at that, and
oh.
you know.
Part of the parade, and then you'll find people who aren't.
Bill
drinking.
Just reminded me because he just said that where you hang
yes.
out at Spin. That one time you went to Roscoe's with our friend Matt.
Yes,
and you propositioned Or you got free drinks from guys.
Oh, that happened every time we went out. Specifically, yeah.
It just kills me. He'd get free drinks going to Ross.
Yeah, I don't get any guys when I go down there.
I got outed as straight both times.
Boo.
Well, he was young. How old were you?
21.
Yeah.
Oh, that's high. They were trying to turn you.
No. It worked for hours, and then Matt got mad because no one was buying him drinks. So then he outed me.
Welcome to being a lady.
And then if you're 21 and you say you're straight in a gay bar,
I didn't say anything.
That's a
nope.
target. That's a
nope,
target.
Didn't, maybe I should have went in. I'm a straight guy.
Yep.
Who's questioning? Turn me?
You would have got more drinks.
Buy curious and buy me a drink.
I really think you should go camping.
Why?
Because camping, you have to start drinking early.
I don't
just
I don't
deal
really
with
either.
All the woods and the outside.
I have no desire. I like the idea of a cabin. I'd like to do that in the woods, but why?
You're just being a pussy now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad you did.
Michael Sanchez, shut the fuck up. You have to just
you don't
here.
Have a mic,
you
Michael
have to sit
Sanchez.
Here for another 3.5 hours, and then you get to finally talk with Mike Leibowitz. So
you're
not
get sorry.
To talk
That's
at
the
all.
Sad part. You're still talking.
Probably because you're sitting next to all these mics.
And your name is
Thanks
Mike.
For ruining that, Jag, Michael Sanchez.
But I think early drinking's for what, 28 and
I
younger?
Don't do it. I've never really been an early drinker.
I remember early
I
drinking for like football
like
games,
do it
college
in my
football
house.
Games.
Like, I don't do it for just doing it. Like, oh, it's Saturday. It's 10 a.m. Let's go.
I couldn't
no.
keep it up. I would fall asleep, and then I would I'd have to do it
well,
again.
Well, some guys do what they call the two-shift, which is you go to the Pride Parade, get completely drunk. As soon as the parade's over, go home, take a 3-hour power nap, get back up, go out, back drinking.
I'm doing air quotes. Power nap?
Power nap.
Power bottom nap. That was shitty. I'm sorry. That was hack. Are you still drunk after the nap, though? Are you buzzed? Are you completely sober? And if you are completely sober, what was the point of waking up early to get drunk? I thought the whole point was to just do it at
Touching
once.
Touching strangers. What do you think?
Yeah, where are
I'm
you?
Actually amazed they can get up after the 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because when you're drunk, I mean, you can't wake up. You're passed
out. Well, they're
out
for...
Well, Simon. Don't drink until you black it. You know, moderate drinking.
Oh, I don't
it?
Know
You guys
how that
all
works.
Talk like you're doing shots every minute on the minute.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the thing about Pride, I think a lot of people... here's what I don't get about Pride. It's a ton of people that aren't, quote-unquote, professional drinkers.
Have like you ever been to Boys Town any night of the week?
Yeah, those people are all awesome. Yes. Not a
professional
problem.
Professional drinkers.
But there's drinkers. So many more people, because it's Pride, that aren't used to drinking, that are doing shots nonstop, and it's just a clusterfuck.
Yeah, but they leave
yeah,
as they... soon as the parade's over.
So maybe I should just go with, like, the last half hour of the parade.
There you go.
Now
okay.
You go to sporting
events. Just don't
events.
Drink as much when you're there. Nurse your beer, nurse your
yeah.
drink.
Yeah, have a drink, have
you
a
know,
water.
Have
a
water.
Drink.
That's what I'm drinking now.
Just intermittently. It's good for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's maybe because you don't know how to drink.
I think I know how to drink better than anyone. Well, that's the problem.
I think horribly wrong. You have two bottles of wine sitting next to you. You've already demanded that beer not be drinking in here.
Yeah.
Where
did I go to college? DePaul.
Six bananas.
Yeah, that explains it. You have no
idea.
I
didn't start
drink.
Drinking until I was already 21.
Oh, man.
Which is weird.
Yeah, you don't
I
know how
either.
To drink.
I didn't drink until I was 21.
Even no, I went to DePaul, too, and I was doing shots
since
in my
I was
dorm room.
21
well, yeah,
so.
Every kid I've met from DePaul has no idea how to drink.
I don't think I do.
I disagree,
drink
sir.
Heavily.
I think it's the exact opposite. I think I never had the college drinking. I never wanted it, and I like don't have to well, do that.
Were you in the seminary? What did you do at DePaul?
No. I,
he was a Vincentian monk.
I was. That's true. I fucked boys like you. It was really good.
I fuck men, sir.
Well, that's the difference. I like the boys, and you like the men. No, I worked in a bar from 21 to 28, so...
That's it.
I hated seeing everyone...
You were exposed to the worst parts of drinking.
Instantly.
Immediately, yeah.
That's why I'm like, if I'm going to... I'd never want to get blackout drunk, and if I want to drink, and I want to drink for hours on end, I'll start at, like, 9, and then go water, coffee, beer.
So
water,
technically,
coffee,
you're
wine.
A 40-year-old drinker.
Yes.
I am a 40-year-old
Right
old
now,
drinker.
At 28.
I'm a guy that was, like, in rehab for 6 years, and, like, I could kind of handle a little bit right now. It's weird. It's not necessarily a good thing.
See, I remember, like, I mean, we partied hard in high school.
Yeah, I didn't.
And then I went to the number one party school in America 2 years running, CU Boulder, Colorado. So
I thought it was Florida.
That was my education.
I thought it was ASU.
No, it when I was at CU, we were voted number one party school 2 years in a row.
What was your major?
Guess.
Gender studies.
It was guess.
No, it was Guess. I worked at Guess.
Oh, that was good.
Theater. I was in theater.
Theater? Okay. Oh, that's even gayer than gender studies.
Yeah.
That's
well, great. I was the first student to graduate from the University of Colorado Boulder with a certificate in gay and lesbian studies.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah. Bill.
And what have you done so far with that?
Told jokes.
No, but that's actually a good major to have for a comedian. A theater major has got to be a great thing. You could actually learn.
Well, it is until you, you know, wanted to aspire to be one of the best Shakespearean actors to ever live.
Is that what you wanted to
do? All of a sudden you're in a bar.
Why did you want to do Shakespeare?
Not Shakespeare, but I was trained to be, I wanted to be a professional actor slash director.
Stage or screen?
Stage.
Okay. Why stage?
I find it the most immediate art form.
Okay.
Being that the idea of being in a space with actors, like that idea of, as opposed to a movie where you're not sharing the experience with anybody really, mm-hmm. even though you're in a room full of people, you're really just sharing the experience with the screen.
Yeah.
If you're in a theater, there's so many things going on, the live performance itself, the other people around you, that the exchange of energy is so immediate.
Mm-hmm.
Even I think more so than stand-up comedy, because the only energy on stand-up comedy that's being exchanged is between the comic, which is a singular person,
mm-hmm.
and the audience. Whereas theater, it's really more than one person.
Do you still go see theater?
I don't, because of comedy. I just don't have time.
Okay.
Are you going to try to get into it again?
I was thinking about it recently, but I don't know. It's one of those things where I did theater since I was a kid. I was a child actor for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did my voice get high?
What?
Really?
I did local commercials in Denver as a kid.
Really?
As a kid.
Oh.
I was. I almost made the TV show The Hogan Family or
really?
Valerie's
Oh my
Family
gosh!
As one of the kids.
That's a Chicago show.
Is anything still floating around? Can we find like a YouTube commercial?
You know, I
you?
Went through a box of my old when my dad passed away. He had a box of videotapes. And he has some of my younger days theater stuff.
Oh, boy.
He still had the – I did a stupid commercial for this place called the it was a steakhouse. God damn it. Now I can't remember the name of it. But it was most famous because you would go in and if you were wearing a tie, they would cut off your tie.
Jesus.
And
that sounds 80s and awesome.
What was the name of the steakhouse? Anyway, I'm in it for like 0.3 seconds.
Yeah.
As this kid holding
did
a hamburger.
Did you get paid in steak?
No, that paid actually very well. That
did it really?
Yeah.
Did you get residuals or was it like the 80s and 70s?
I got residuals for about a year and then they stopped airing the commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you like hot shit in school because people knew you were an actor?
No, in fact, I kept it very quiet.
You were ashamed of yourself.
Not ashamed. I just didn't want
the notoriety.
He likes
the
to keep his personal life separate from his acting career.
So I acted all through like elementary school, middle school, high school. College and then here in Chicago for 2-3 years
uh-huh.
just trying to break in and then I hit a wall. I was like I can't do this
and
anymore.
That's when you started doing stand-up
and I took a little bit of time off and then the bug hit me again, so I started doing like spoken word stuff, queer nights and stuff, and my buddy Zach Brown, brilliant comedian,
uh-huh.
he started doing stand-up, so I'd go watch him and then he's like, you should do this, and then I got offered to do a stand-up gig for money and I'm like, all right, I'll do this for a month. And then
what year was this?
So your first show?
That was 2003.
So your first stand-up show was you got paid and it was like on a proper stage with a proper.
It was for the
was like
Bears
the
conference mm-hmm. downtown.
It was, really, that's
the,
amazing.
The part of the International Leatherman
uh-huh.
convention.
Oh, nice.
So it was at the Congress Theater, and
wait, in like the main room in the Congress.
Yeah,
that was your first stand-up gig.
Yeah. The Congress.
This guy.
Have you played
Congress
a better
Hotel?
Gig since?
Congress Hotel.
Oh, that might even be better. Have you played a better gig since then?
Oh yeah.
You sure?
But it took a long time.
Okay, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because the thing was, it was full of people, but half of them were playing grab ass with each other in the back, so no one's really paying attention to my jokes.
How was that different than any other show?
That's true.
Didn't you do a show in a bathhouse too? That sounds
Steamworks?
Like
Steamworks.
Oh, nice.
I did a show at Steamworks.
We're in Steamworks.
There, I love how you. Seem to know
Steamworks,
your
we,
way around Steamworks.
I know.
We
like, I don't know. They just bought me drinks and I went home.
Where at in Steamworks? Downstairs? Upstairs? In the back room?
My girlfriend and I used to do a magazine called The Machine, and we sent a writer to cover Steamworks. So he wrote this 2,000-word piece about Steamworks, and then he actually caught something from that visit.
No.
Caught
he was
something?
19.
Go on?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So.
What did he catch?
Something curable.
Fair
something
enough.
That was just enough pills, you're fine.
Just ruining people.
He got
tonight.
AIDS. But he no,
well,
but he's a black basketball player, so he's fine.
Oh.
So continue.
Oh, the Rape Feast of Fun AIDS. People, Fausto and
mm-hmm.
Mark, they did a stand-up show. They've done two now.
Steamworks.
And it's Steamworks, and it's in the front lobby area where they
okay.
used to have that fireplace area.
Uh-huh.
And people were allowed to come in just to watch in their regular clothes, but then everybody around in Steamworks at the time had no idea this was even happening, but we gathered a good crowd of, I'd say, about 20 guys just only in their towels.
Sounds good to me.
It was very, very funny.
Did you get paid?
Did get paid.
In what?
In money.
Okay. Visits, towels.
Well, what's weird was all the comedians the had cure. Decided we're not going to, we'll just be in our regular clothes.
Uh-huh.
But then the other two comedians decided that day, we're going to do it in our towels. It was Adam Guarino.
I'll be in my towel. Okay, yeah. I get it.
And
see
Keith Ecker. Also fucking cut. So they decide we're going to do comedy in little towels. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be odd man out, and I can't wear this tiny towel. So I asked the management, do you have any bigger towels? And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll get you a big towel. They're gone for 20 minutes.
Aww.
They come back with this awning. I swear to God, it's an awning. So I'm like, okay. So I put it on, and it turns out they had sent someone to Linens and Things.
Aww.
To buy a giant towel for me.
Well, fuck Steamworks.
No, jeez. I still felt fine. I put a Steamworks towel around my neck, and we all did it in towels. And then I had a poker game that night, and so as soon as the show's over, I'm like, I gotta go host poker. And the other two comedians were like, I think we're gonna hang out.
Yeah,
I
bet
a little while. And we're just chill out for a little bit.
Renee, have you done any shows in a towel or something like that?
No, I've never even been invited. Here's Bill getting all these great shows.
Would you? Have you played a Leatherman convention?
No, never. I don't know. These opportunities do not present themselves for women, I guess.
Bill,
I don't know.
For the aspiring female comedian, how should they get involved in the leather community? What could they be doing?
Yeah. Oh, they got to go to the gay bars.
I guess I need to go to more gay bars.
Have you you've performed at Town Hall, right?
Yes.
But that's the only straight bar in
Boystown. I did a show with Bill at, Streetside? Where was that show?
Where?
The Boystown show we did. We went to IHOP after.
That was Guy Hop. Sidetracks.
They did Sidetracks.
How was that?
That was awesome.
Sidetracks is a really good looking venue.
It was amazing. There was a great crowd. Yeah. The show was great.
That
Adam
was produced
runs an awesome
by
show.
Adam Guarino as well, but okay. That show's no longer in existence.
You produced an open mic. You produced a showcase show. What should people learn from your mistakes? Like, there are so many shows that last for 6 months and then burn out for good reason. What should people know before they attempt to do anything in comedy, in terms of producing?
It's a lot of work.
Yes.
And I feel like the key is just to have a great audience and great comics.
How do you get a great audience, though? That's probably the hardest
part.
Put
up great comics. Be selective about.
That's not always it, though.
It's not, but you promote the show, and mm-hmm. if you constantly put up a good room full of people are going to hear about it and start bringing their friends. Whenever, at least for me, whenever we would book a show, I would think to myself, if I had never seen a stand-up show in Chicago, and I walked in on this show, would this be a great example of what stand-up's like in Chicago? And if I felt that was true, and they would walk out and think that was a great show, then that's a good booking.
The other good advice I would give is there's no magic formula.
Okay.
You could have the best comics, you can have the best venue, you could have the best promotion, and the show could still die. There is no magic formula guarantee you're going to get an audience in those seats. Not in Chicago.
Not even. And the other thing, even shows at Riot, there were definitely weeks where there were not a lot of audience members.
Mm-hmm. And they'd be awesome shows.
And I would walk in, and in your head, you just have to say, we're going to put a great show on for each other. This is going to be so much fun. And whatever few people were in there had an awesome time. And, you know, we'd always try to make up for it by giving them shots. Or I feel like everybody even performed better because it was kind of like, this is just for us, but we're going to make it extra special for whoever's here.
So it seems that you have to think about the first time or every time.
I think so. I like that.
I agree. When I worked with the Lodge for a long time, we went through a couple rough years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we just caught for whatever reason. And, you know, it's more of once you catch, what do you do to continue And you're talking about growing your base, uh-huh. about making incentives, not for people just to come for the first time, but to come back again.
But does that make you a better comic at all, any of this stuff?
Producing?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
How?
Because if you're smart enough to watch what's happening production-wise, you understand as a comic from a producer side what you can do to ensure that, number one, you're not in the way, you're not a hassle, and what you need to do to make the producers happy.
Right.
Meaning, how do you interact professionally with the producers of the show, with the people who happen to work there, like, say, waiters and wait staff, and other comics. If you go into a show and you're the end-all, be-all, and you're making trouble, and you have a lot of demands, you show up late, you know, you have all this other baggage, producers aren't going to book you again, no matter how funny you are.
Okay.
And that's a good lesson.
And, I mean, there's a reason both of us are here as your favorites, I feel like. I mean, we both produce shows. We both try to treat people the way we want to be treated and just be good comics and good people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's your addition.
No, but I do. I think you guys are very hardworking. And when you when I do see you perform, it's very professional. And it's done like that's a comedian.
Aww.
You are comedians.
Aww. Have you turned down shows that weren't produced well enough?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? What's the usual reason?
A lot of times, I mean, one of the I've turned down the very first show I was offered. I turned down.
What was that?
It was an all female show. Okay. I don't want to name what it was.
No, I'm not asking that.
But I was offered time at the show, and I had barely been doing stand up, and they're like, "Do you want to come in and do, you know, 5 to 8 minutes?" And I'm like, "I don't have 5 to 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you are going to put me on this show, I don't respect your show."
Got it.
And I went and I watched it, and the show was one of the. It was horrible. The whole show was awful.
What was the worst
I brought
part
a friend.
About it?
I brought
the
a
talent?
Not friend comedian. No, the variety, the pacing, the host.
Was there anything good about it?
There were a couple of comics that were good that okay. made do with the audience that was there and handled it well. There's some things I laughed at, but I brought a friend that wasn't a comic, and she walked out like if that had been the only stand up show she'd ever seen, she would have not gone back.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I don't want to do shows like that.
Yeah. What about you, Bill?
I'll turn down shows that don't pay and aren't produced well.
Okay.
If I know there's not going to be an audience there, there's no point in me trying to do either new material or refine material I've been working on.
Well, that's but you have a built-in open mic that you have to do new material. No, you don't have to, but you're probably going to do new material every single week, so you have that built-in anyways.
Correct, but I don't get a real audience at my open mic, meaning non-comic audience. But that my open mic is almost purely comics, but that's okay.
That's every open mic.
Yeah, well, no, not necessarily. Cole's gets a decent audience.
I know, but that's mostly people that are friends of first-timers.
Yeah,
I've
but it
realized.
Does as long as they're not comics, I don't care.
Okay, I see that point. But Cole's is a weird... That's not the norm.
No, but here's the thing. There's no norm.
I feel like it could be. I feel like if someone produced...
It's not, though.
I mean...
Well, look at the article that came out about the Lion's Den. The Lion's Den would actually get an audience.
Uh-huh.
We're talking 30 to 50 people that are not comics or comic friends.
Mm-hmm.
And... You get a real test of how your material will perform in a showcase setting.
Yeah.
Now, if I go to another produced room showcase where I know there's not going to be a real audience to test material and I'm not getting paid, and unless it's in an effort to get a better show later, why would I agree to do that show?
That makes sense. Any final words? Because we got to set up Mark.
I'm just happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for
always putting
it.
Up the show.
I love
the Hungry Brain. I love both you guys.
Yeah.
Merle, any
like
final?
Mine are always yay.
Yeah.
I love the fact that well, how come you didn't tell us we were your favorite guest before this? Because
yeah.
now.
I don't know.
Let's brag
it was
about.
More like a surprise. Because call the
I think if I told you before, you'd be like, oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah, we have a lot of, it's not on the list, but like the 3 p.m. hour is the Smith hour. It's a husband and wife duo. I love them. The 4 p.m. hour is the Red Bar hour. Mike and Kyle will be here. The 5 p.m. hour is the talk show host hour. So Joe Quazala, who's from Late Live Show, and Carl Clocker from Chicago, still be here. 6 p.m. is Comedians You Should Know hour. It's Michael Sanchez and Leibowitz, et cetera.
Nice.
But
see,
I
there's
think,
all
are you the only, they're the only ones that it's like a... someone likes them or it's a something because everybody else is like because they're from this
it's a group or some kind of association
yeah
it's because we're engaged
it's mine's nice. The only one is I like these two so
yeah
I want
yeah,
them
these
now.
These were the only Merle's favorite hour
did you have one did you make a little
thank you, Bill.
No?
Every
thank
single
you,
person I asked I
oh
liked.
You like everybody
yeah
is
that's
that
why
your...
I asked
oh, okay
he doesn't like anybody
whatever
no that's the thing I'm trying not to be a dick anymore
really
because really
you have failed this past hour
this always
no wait Renee you just said something I'm sorry
I feel like you like I assume you like everybody because I guess it's because you like me.
I know I love both you guys. That's the thing. I just say mean things because I'm insecure. That's
well,
all
you're
is.
Sitting above everybody right
me.
Now
yeah.
in this direction.
I'm literally above
with your legs crossed in a very judgmental manner.
It
it's a barbecue. You're wearing jeans and black socks.
I know. I didn't want to wear the black socks, but that's all I have right now.
You could have went socks less.
Yeah,
no,
take
I can't.
Your shoes
then
off.
Nice.
Get comfortable. I feel like you better loosen up a little bit. You got a lot of hours to go.
He
is the oldest 28-year-old.
I know. I had on Adidas black shoes and I wore these for comfort, and now I know that was a bad
just
idea.
Take them
just
off.
Take
go
take barefoot.
Barefoot.
I can't do
for
this.
Sure.
I'm
shorts.
Smoke
go put on
every
some
hour.
Shorts.
Yeah, that's the problem. I know I'm going to be running around smoking because I still have bad habits.
Do you own a pair of shorts?
No.
See,
no, no. I own a swimsuit, and I have workout shorts.
Swimsuit
and workout shorts.
Oh,
either will do.
Count.
But I'm not wearing those.
Why not?
Because I'm an adult.
You're
you
not,
can wear
number
shorts
one.
And be
yeah,
an adult.
I can't pull them off.
28 is the new 18. number one.
That's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah. We're going to do beer bongs later then.
Can we do a cake stand?
That's why I have bananas and wine.
Bill, let's hang out here all night.
I want to. I got to go to the woods.
If you want, that's what we want.
Yeah,
I was going to hang out all day, but I have this awful bachelor party to drink all
night. If you want to just hang out until Joe gets here, because I know you can
Well, another person is my ride, so I'll be here until my ride. Christian Zahler.
Do I know? I don't think I know him.
Friend of the comedy community.
Bring
I'll
him
just
up.
Say that.
I'd like to meet him.
You know, I think he. I think I'll go meet him out in the car.
You met him.
Have I been mean to him?
No.
Oh no. Okay.
No, I
brought up being a dick. I got to stop being a dick. You know,
I don't think you can.
On
I don't
you,
think
right?
you
so
can.
Anything you motion to me is never mind. Why would you do that? You can't be mean.
That's for
I can't.
Love.
That's the truth. I can't.
I know people don't. No offense, Renee. I know people don't like you because you won't book them. You
is that serious?
Them. That's totally serious.
I had no idea.
That is a pitfall of the position.
Really?
Yeah.
When I booked the Lincoln Lodge, I was a lot of people's top enemy.
I don't think people realize it's literally nothing personal.
Well, especially when there's multiple people booking a show, and
I know
it's not one. It's
she wouldn't put me up to host.
I never said it.
Yes, you would. You go, no, you're not ready. I go, fuck you.
That was a while ago.
that
is that why you don't like
happen.
Me?
Happen. No, yeah. I still like
wait,
you.
Wait, but was it true?
Yeah, was it true?
That you weren't ready?
I was ready.
When was this?
Well, I know you were in your mind. You thought you were ready. Every comic thinks they're ready.
When? Okay, so 18 months
I'm
ago?
Ready to host.
Exactly. You're not. Yeah, well.
I could host, though.
I would like
know
to
how
see
to
you
move
host.
A show along.
I want to see you host.
This is not the example.
Well, 18 months ago, you were yelling at people and telling them to. Yeah. You know, fuck off and things like that.
I don't think I
yelled.
Was as much.
That's
no,
a
see,
lie.
What
you didn't believe it when it came out of your
the
mouth.
At the brain, when I have to host things, quote unquote host things, people that know you,
yeah.
that have seen you host, they're like, oh, you don't yell as much.
Oh,
and I was
great.
Like, do you want me to just start yelling like Brandon? Like, I don't do that. I don't yell.
Girl, spill it.
I had no idea people didn't like me. I just assumed.
No. It's just a few comics that are probably no longer even comics that don't like you.
Oh, I would get emails. Like,
oh, we got,
how, do, how
I got,
come you
I was threatened.
Me?
I was threatened by people.
For who?
I mean, I'm not gonna say a name, but I got an email, and
was
just
it
like
serious, or was it like
it was
fuck
kind
you.
Of like it was like karma's gonna come and get you.
Oh, those are great.
You banned me at this show.
I can't wait till you fall so I can laugh at you.
We want everyone to come. We love everybody. I mean, everyone at Riot went to open mics. We liked to see people. We put a lot of people up for their first time. We put Chris Condren up for the first time. We put Andrew Halter up for his first showcase.
Do you regret
showcase.
Putting up Chris Condren?
No, we loved him. He's so funny.
I like Chris.
And the first two times he went up, he had a hard time. But we all know how funny he is, so we kept putting him up because we all. Really like this person,
yeah.
and he makes us laugh, and so that's why we were booking people.
That's why I think it's a shame that Room doesn't exist, and I want you to be producing again.
I'll be producing
that's
again
all.
In the next month.
But here's
so.
The other thing. The fact that I do miss Ryan immensely.
Yeah.
The fact that there's so many showcase rooms in Chicago right now. Feel lucky. When I started, there was two.
I know. Well, I'm in D.C. now, and it's shit compared to here. There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
What? You're moving to D.C. I know, it's shit. Welcome to
Good
D.C.
Good luck with that.
Person off mic. All right. We're going to put some music
Listener.
On while we set up. Mark, let's plug some of your stuff really quick.
Nice. Thank you so much, Brandon, for having
thank
us.
Thank you, guys.
And thanks for being somebody's favorites. I feel so
I know,
special
I do too.
Today.
I'm glad to be a favorite with you, Bill.
That's not a hard thing to do. You guys are great. Just be yourself.
Are we plugging things? What do you want to plug?
What? It's not a hard thing to be my favorite.
I don't know, mystery show en route. Like, look for me around town. Be my Facebook friend.
I'm going to make you be
You're
my
like
villain.
Like a GPS, find me on GPS.
Yeah, Renee Schultz on Facebook. Let's be friends. I'll start a show and you could all come check it out.
And
have
she
a great
won't
time.
Put me up. It's going
to
be great.
We'll see how funny you get.
Hey, why don't you go to my open mic, Mr. Wanna Be Put Up?
I don't live in Chicago.
Go to some open mics and get fun.
I'm hosting an open mic, fucker.
Hosting.
Maybe you don't call people fuckers.
This was 18 months ago.
Maybe you wear some shorts or tight.
Yeah,
swimming pants,
up.
Whatever you
Riot
call
was
it.
A real fun show. I don't
it
know.
I miss Riot.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I run an open mic every Tuesday, the Guttermouth Open Mic, celebrating its 2-year anniversary next week.
Oh, congratulations.
At 2747 North Lincoln. Sign up starts at 8 o'clock. It's a lottery. Show starts at 8:30. You can look us up on Facebook at The Guttermouth Open Mic.
Bill Cruz, Renee Schultz, Merle's two favorite comics in the city. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Without further ado, here's Wesley Willis and Mark Jenk. Mark, say something in the microphone.
Hey, Brandon, your hair looks great.
My hair
noticed
looks
it
great.
As soon as I walked in here.
You noticed it's my like hair as soon as you walked in.
Haircut.
I did get a haircut.
Parted to the side. Looks very nice.
You're going to be playing guitar. Could you play some guitar really quick? And like how your day is going.
My day's going well. I really like that I got to come in and sit in on a talk show immediately. I hope that was okay, and I went to the bathroom in the middle of that last set. I hope you couldn't
it
hear
was
me
perfect.
Peeing.
You don't have to stick around for everyone. It would be a very, very long show. Once again, this is Merle's favorite hour of guests. That's why you're here.
Yay.
You were kind enough to play one of the first shows we booked at the Hungry Brain. I think you played the live show as both a musical guest and a band, or have you played as a musical guest?
We've not played as a musical guest.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Sunday.
Tomorrow is Sunday the 26th.
I'm showing my apartment that's for rent.
What time? What are you doing tomorrow night?
Nothing, probably.
You want to play the Whistler?
Sure.
You're playing the Whistler tomorrow night.
For real?
Yeah. Marks is now the musical Damn. Guest at the Whistler tomorrow night.
Hey, that's awesome. I like the Whistler.
You will be playing three songs.
If the people from the Whistler are listening right now, please get the bourbon old-fashioned stuff ready for me. Because they know how to make a drink
over
there.
They are some of the best drinks. Without further ado, you're going to play some songs.
Okay.
Whatever you want, whenever you're ready, sir.
Okay. So this song is called I Dream of Water, I Dream of Sand.
I love this song.
I dream of water, I dream of sand, I dream the creases in your hands. They are a language unto themselves. They speak in witchcraft and they cast spells on me. And on the clover, I am the dew, and by mid-morning, my time is through and no one's the wiser. No one's the wiser. I am an ocean, you are a dune. I lie here hoping I'll see you soon. I send you waves, you send them back. You say be patient, don't overreact. And on the clover, I am the dew. And you come over, I'll lick your shoes. And no one's the wiser. No one's the wiser. Send me a sign, please. I dream of water, I dream of sand, I dream the creases in your hands. I dream of water, I dream of sand, I dream of the creases in your hands.
It's weird because it's like I should be clapping, but those are the only two mics that are on.
Oh, cool.
I have
We're going room to room because we're checking the camera. All right.
Oh, wow, fun. So. Keep doing this?
Yeah, do two more, buddy.
Awesome. Then I'm going to do... This song is called Breakdown Routines. Break down routines, play on cinema screens, in the language of light and illusion. Attractive squares turn up everywhere. They smoke the air for diffusion. Her belts and her shoes are all aligned to confuse, and brother, they bring on confusion. You have your eyes and an array of lies and an uncanny timing for intrusion. Sequences leave you lightheaded. These sequences leave you lightheaded.
Yay, me. I'm going to tune for this next song. So I'm sure this will be great podcast radio, whatever this medium is that we're dealing with at the moment. So I'll try to make it look sexy then. Everyone live. I'm on mic, I guess.
Everybody.
Everybody live at the Whistler. Microphone logo inserted in your brain there. I'm also playing down the street. You don't know where we are, I guess, out there in computer land, but at Lori's Planet of Sound on the 7th at 7. I'm not really sure why. I don't have any records coming out. Usually that's how why you play a record store, but anyway. This song is called From One Side of Beef to Another. My cat left a snowbird lying at my door, and I don't miss you anymore. My cat left a snowbird at my door today, and I never loved you anyway. I go from one side of beef to another. I won't take you as my lover. From one side of beef to another, I just can't take you as my lover. Because a rib is just a rib when it falls into your bib, so I'll let it languish in the fridge. Yeah, a rib is just a rib unless it's holding in a heart, and you, friend, lack that vital part. And a heart is not a heart unless it's bursting at the seams, plus all those fussy parts between. And I think you know exactly what I mean when I say those fussy parts between. The fussy parts between turn us into drama queens. There ain't hive enough for two. The fussy parts between always skip to the best scenes, and all their material is blue.
My cat left a snowbird lying at my door, and I don't miss you anymore. My cat left a snowbird at my door today, and I never loved you anyway. And a heart is not a heart unless it's bursting at the seams, plus all those fussy parts between. And I think you know exactly what I mean when I say those fussy parts between. Fussy parts between turn us into drama queens, and there ain't hive enough for two. Fussy parts between always skip to the best scenes, and all their material is blue. Fussy parts between turn us into drama queens, and there ain't hive enough for two. Fussy parts between always skip to the best scenes, and all their material is blue. The fussy parts between, oh, the fussy parts between. Oh, the fussy parts between. Oh, the fussy parts between.
Yeah! Plug your show tomorrow.
Right, playing at the Hungry Brain with...
Whistler.
Playing at the Whistler. I'm used to everybody being at the Hungry Brain. Which is a lovely, wonderful place, as well as the Whistler. And so it's at the Whistler, and it's tomorrow, and it's at some time, and there'll be some people there, one of them with a great haircut.
Tomorrow night we have a very, very, very good show. We have, I wish I had the poster in front of me, but we don't. We have Paul Hornschmeyer. Do you know Paul?
No.
Paul is a cartoonist, graphic novelist, whatever you want to call it. He is great, great, great. And we also have DK Ettinger, who's going to give us some tips of how to live. We have comedian Will Miles, and then we have you, Mark.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. Merle! That is hour one. Stay tuned for hour 2 of 12. Jesus Christ.
Are you sick of shows that promise to entertain but leave you holding your dick? Are you sick of open mics? Then put down your dick and come to You Meet Them Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois. Music better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Stand-up comedy better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Literature that isn't poetry, so it doesn't suck. And it's better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Because it's not fucking poetry. Films from Chicago filmmakers who don't need to attend open mics.
Because they don't have to.
Weird stuff like some guy walking on glass that's so cool, even it would fly to fucking open mic. It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Doors open at 8 p.m. Performances at 9 p.m. 21 plus only.
Children should be left at home and will not be allowed in because they suck.
It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain. Full lineup available at UMeThemEverybodyPresents.com.